Very good morning to all of you here and also to those who are joining us via the live stream. Friends, for the month of February, our sermon series is on God's design for relationship. And today we are looking at marriage. Now, I know not all of you are married or planning to get married anytime soon, but I'm pretty sure that all of you here and those who are watching online, all of you would know someone who is married, isn't it? Therefore, regardless of your marital status, you should listen out to today's sermon, because as we learned about God's design for marriage from His Word, it will also help us in reaching out or in caring for those who are married or planning to get married. It will, at the very least, help us to keep those couples in our prayer. So let me pray and let us ask the Lord to speak to all of us here this morning as we listen to His Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning that we can once again sit under Your Word and receive from You. We pray that our hearts may be attentive to what You may want to say to us, so that, Lord, we can continue to love You and serve You as Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the gift of marriage. This is our sermon title today. And this is also what Paul has pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, saying that marriage as well as singleness is a gift from God. And if it is a gift, the tendency is to think that marriage then has to be all about me. Well, that's how we feel when we receive a gift, isn't it? We want the gift to be something that we want or we need. It better be something that is useful or beneficial to me. Otherwise, the gift is considered worthless in that sense, and it will probably end up in some donation booths. Likewise, for marriage, there are many people in the world today, including Christians, who would have this very inward-looking perception regarding marriage. The marriage must benefit me. The marriage must satisfy my needs. And when we don't gain much out of our marriage, we question if we have married the right person. We question if there's any more purpose in this marriage, and we wonder if we should call it quits. And this is why, you know, divorce has become such a norm. And in many parts of the world, divorce is also considered as a celebration of freedom. And that the reason, I believe, has to do with how marriage is often perceived as a gift that is me-centered. A gift that is me-centered. But my friends, this is never what God has in mind in His design for marriage right from the start. And this is what we want to look at today from Genesis chapter 2. In God's design for marriage, it is never inward-looking, but always outward-looking. That's God's design for marriage, to be outward-looking. It's never about me. It is always about my spouse. Now, if you are seated with your spouse right now, why don't you turn to your spouse and say to your spouse or spouse-to-be with great enthusiasm, saying, "Yes, it is about you." I think that's a good practice that we can, you know, remind each other in our marriage that it is about my spouse, it is about you. You know, in verse 18, when God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone," we need to understand that the issue here wasn't the feeling of loneliness. It was not about Adam in need of another person in his life so that he may feel more loved. In fact, you know, at the point, Adam was already very loved. Adam was receiving all of God's attention, all of God's love. But what Adam really needed was someone in his life for him to love. Someone in his life for him to give himself to in marriage. And this has been God's plans for Adam, to have not just dominion over creation, but to also have a relationship with another person. And that other person, as we all know, was Eve. Eve was made for Adam to love. Eve was made for Adam to give himself to in marriage, as God has commanded in verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And my friends, this has been the role of the husband in marriage ever since. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it is written, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for her." And you know, it is very clear in this verse what kind of love is expected from the husband in God's design for marriage. It is not the Hollywood kind of love, definitely. It is not just the romantic kind of love. But here, very clearly, it says it is a self-sacrificial love as Christ has demonstrated. Husbands, we are to love our wives with selfless love that expect nothing in return. Self-sacrificial love. Because in God's perfect design for marriage, it is never something to be inward-looking, but something that is always outward-looking. Now, it is the same for wives. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God has also said, "I will make Adam a helper fit for him." Now, this is a verse that has probably upset many women over the centuries. And it is the opposite, perhaps, for the men. Many husbands are probably very happy to know that there is such a verse in the Bible, and they just can't wait to show their wife, "Hey, look, you are made to be my helper." Now, before any woman throw their heels at me, or before any man throw this verse at their wives, let us understand what the word helper means. Now, firstly, this word does not in any way demean a woman. In fact, this word, helper, is often used to describe God in the Old Testament as the divine being whom the people can depend on in their times of need, whom the people must depend on in their times of need. This word, helper, is also used to describe military reinforcements without which a battle would be lost. So in a similar way, wives are called to be helpers because they make up what is lacking in their husbands. In other words, without the wives taking up this very significant role as a helper or as the enabler, you know, the husbands will not be able to fulfill their roles, will not be able to fulfill their purposes in God's design for marriage. So, wives, you play a very important role as the enabler for the husbands. So again, we see how in God's design for marriage, the wife is also looking out not for her own interests, but for the interests of her husband. So marriage is indeed a gift from God, but you are the gift that God is giving to your spouse. Now listen carefully, I did not say that your spouse is a gift to you, but you are a gift to your spouse. And the reason why I'm making this distinction is because, you know, sometimes in a sermon like this, there is that tendency to think that, you know, God is speaking not to me, but to my spouse. God, my spouse should really listen to this. My spouse should, you know, really change herself or himself as what God is saying to her right now. And we tend to think that this message is not for me, but for my spouse. But no, my friends, you are the gift to your spouse. This message is for you. This message is for me. Either we are as husband or as wife, each of us who is in a marriage needs to respond to what God is saying to us individually. So, my friends, don't let anyone deceive you with the idea that marriage is all about you and what you can gain from it. You know, this kind of perception will only lead us towards the outcome that the devil wants, which is the distortion, the destruction of God's original and perfect design for marriage. Now, let me also say this to husbands and wives, and also to those who are planning to get married soon. Have an interest not only in your spouse's earthly condition, but more importantly, have an interest in your spouse's spiritual and eternal condition. You know, the photo that we will see on the screen reflects a very common vision that most couples would have for their marriage, where the couple would still hold fast to one another at a ripe old age. But my friends, a Christian vision for marriage should be more than just about reaching the end of this earthly life together. A Christian vision for marriage should be about reaching the gates of heaven where we meet Jesus face to face on the day of his return. In the book, The Meaning of Marriage, Timothy Keller said this: each spouse should see the great things that Jesus is doing in the life of their mate, their spouse, through the word, the gospel. Each spouse should then give himself or herself to be a vehicle for that work and envision the day that you will stand together before God, seeing each other presented in spotless beauty and glory. That's the Christian vision for marriage, that we may look forward to that day where we could see us standing with our spouse, me standing with my spouse, presented before God in spotless beauty and glory. So have an interest in your spouse's spiritual and eternal condition, not just the earthly condition. What is instructed in the Bible concerning how we are to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ towards spiritual maturity, that's something that we ought to do for our spouse as well. In fact, we ought to follow those instructions with even greater commitment, because our spouse is so much closer to us, so much dearer to us than anyone else. So why should we not be concerned with our spouse's spiritual and eternal condition? So pray for and with your spouse. Encourage your spouse with God's word. Point your spouse to Christ in every circumstances. Don't be jealous if your spouse loves Jesus more than loving you. And let me just say that doing all of this actually might be more challenging than the two of you managing your family expenses or managing your in-laws. Why? Because, you know, by pointing each other to Jesus, that's the key to a lasting marriage, which I believe the devil will do all it takes to prevent it from happening. And sometimes that is why we find it rather challenging to build up our spouse towards spiritual maturity. And I know this because I'm not spared from this struggle as well. It is a challenge for me as well. But I also know that our God is more than able and willing to carry us, you and your spouse, through this struggle victoriously as we and our spouses persevere in looking out for each other, in looking out for each other's spiritual condition and looking up to God as we do that. Now, this actually brings me to my next point. Marriage is a gift that is outward looking. It is also a gift that is upward looking. Our passages today from Genesis 2 and Mark 10 points us not only to the gift, but more importantly to the giver, who is the creator. God is the one who has made us. And that's the reminder of how God actually knows each one of us so personally, inside out. God knows perfectly how we function, our mind, how we think, how we feel, how we behave. God knows perfectly. God knows us better than our spouse knows us. God knows us even better than we know ourselves. And that is why, you know, back in Genesis chapter 2, it wasn't Adam who went to God and said that, God, you know, I'm feeling rather lonely. Why don't you make me a helper? But it was God who has highlighted Adam's need even before Adam realized it himself. And my friends, God also knows how, you know, two very unique persons with all the differences, with all the flaws in them, can come together to live as one flesh for the rest of their lives. God knows how your marriage can work out in the way that He has designed. So if you want to know why your spouse is always like that, why don't you ask God? God knows. If you want to know why you often react this way towards your spouse, ask God. God knows. You want to know how you and your spouse can overcome your differences, how you can complement one another in this marriage, how the both of you can grow in your love for each other despite the flaws that you discover in each other, ask God. God knows, because He made you, He made your spouse. God knows very well how the two of you can come together and to marriage in accordance to His perfect design. Therefore, look up to God always. Now, husbands and wives, learn also to look up to God when you are having a conflict. Instead of quarreling, instead of having a cold war towards each other, giving each other that cold treatment, come together and pray together. But you can say to your spouse, you know, I know you are very upset with me. I know that, you know, there's this tension going on. Why don't we pray together? And I know it's definitely very awkward to suggest praying together when the two of you are obviously very unhappy with each other. But it is amazing to see how God can work in the midst of the tension between the two of you when the two of you decide to put aside those unhappiness and choose to look up to God and allow God to intervene, to allow God to mediate. It is difficult, it is unnatural, but it will help the two of us, the two of you, you and your spouse, to come together to work out your differences, even in the midst of your conflict. Now, let me end with this final point. Because God knows us so well, what God gives to us is always good. It is perfect. In Adam's case, there was zero input from Adam concerning the gift that God was about to give him, because God put him in such a deep sleep. But you know, when Adam woke up and when Adam saw Eve standing right before his eyes, what was his reaction? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, we were told that Adam had this response. He said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." My friends, over here, it was an exclamation of joy and satisfaction. Adam was as if saying, "This is the one. This is perfect." As she looked at Eve standing right before his eyes. And it is perfect. The gift was perfect because God knows exactly what Adam needed. And it is the same for us, my friends. God knows exactly what we truly need, what will truly satisfy us. Therefore, God gives us not just the gift of marriage, not just the gift of singleness, not just any other gifts, but above all, God gives each one of us the most precious gift, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus alone, we experience the most perfect and sacrificial love that no one else in this world could ever give? Well, it has been demonstrated most clearly when Jesus gave up his sinless life on the cross for our sins while we were still his enemies. And in Jesus alone, we also find our greatest assurance, because Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. His faithfulness to us never waver, even if we are faithless. And my friends, in Jesus alone, we have the greatest hope, because Jesus not only promised us that he will be with us in this life, but we will also be with him for eternity. And, you know, this is something which you and I can absolutely look forward to be with Jesus for eternity, despite the hardship that we may go through in this temporal life. So, my friends, in Jesus, we have everything. In Jesus alone, we are truly satisfied. Therefore, if you are single, if you are widowed, look up to Jesus. He is the one who is forever your greatest satisfaction. If you are in a marriage where your spouse is far from what the Bible says he or she should be like, or even far from the very basic expectation of a husband or wife, and you are struggling in this relationship with your spouse, I encourage you to look up to Jesus and place your trust in Jesus. He is faithful. He will carry you through. And if, for those of you who are happily married, praise the Lord for that. Continue to love one another in your marriage. But as you do that, don't take your eyes off Jesus as well. Continue to look to Jesus above all else. Remind your spouse to look to Jesus always. Because the reality is that one day, our marriage will come to an end when one of us leaves this side of eternity. But Jesus will continue to be your faithful companion. Jesus will continue to be your solid rock whom you can lean on. Jesus will continue to be by your side in this life and for eternity. So look up to Jesus always. Let us pray. Father, we want to give you thanks for the way that you have made us and have given us one another, so that we may learn to love them. We may learn to love them as Christ has loved us. And we thank you especially for marriage, for your design of marriage, for the spouse that you have given to us. For those of us who may struggle in this relationship with our spouse, Lord, we pray that you will continue to be the source of comfort and strength. And Lord, we pray that you will help these people in their time of need and enable them to look to you and to trust in you. For those who are working out this marriage together, we pray also that, Lord, you would continue to show us how we may love one another selflessly as you have intended for marriage. And for the rest of us, Lord, we also pray that you help us to encourage those who are married, keep them in our prayer, so that together as one family in Christ, we may continue to love you through our love for one another. So we give you thanks and ask that, Lord, your Spirit will continue to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.